Blog Talk Radio.
Good afternoon. Welcome to the Elohim Radio Hour on Sunday at 3 p.m. to load up your time. What you were just listening to was the TCCA National Anthem. That's our church national anthem. And the age of freedom has come, okay? You can have it, but you have to work for it. Nobody's going to give it to you. It's not going to fall out the tree. You have to work for it. Freedom is something special, and it's very seldom free. Right? The topic for today is a very interesting one. Why did the establishment want Jesus dead? Oh, my goodness, that's a big one. Well, we're going to start off the way we normally start off, with love. I'm not going to go into the whole love thing. Just remind you how important love is, and how important it is to have a proper understanding of love. Love is an act that makes others feel good. Now, just imagine everybody trying to only commit acts that make others feel good. Wouldn't be hurting each other's feelings. We wouldn't be pushing each other's buttons to see if we loved you and all that kind of stuff. None of that would be going on, you know, because every act would be calculated and every act would be considered. And we would make every act out of consideration of love. And it would be a wonderful, wonderful thing. Talk about wishful thinking, right? Well, this is what I practice every day. I practice trying to do and say things to only make other people feel good, you know? Now, the question on the board is, was Jesus an architect of freedom? And that's something to think about. The establishment saw something in him that they didn't want the people to have. And the people saw something in him that they wanted to have. So if you follow the same line of logic all the way through to today's time, when the people get so involved with something that's going to really help them gain freedom, help end poverty and things of that nature, the wicked ones come right in and do whatever they can to break it up or to kill the people that's trying to bring it into existence. Now, we think about in our lifetime, the people that have tried to do things and what they did to them. We've got Marcus Garvey. We got Elijah Muhammad. We got Noble Dra Lee. We have John Kennedy. We have Martin Luther King. We have John Turner. We have a lot of people that have tried to do things to bring people into our freedom existence, you know? And each time the wicked got right in there and shut them down, they couldn't shut them down because the people loved them and followed them so much, they would literally kill them, you know? So Jesus was that type of person. The stuff that he was teaching was very profound and very radical for the time, because Jesus was an architect of freedom. You have a lot of people. Well, think about this for a minute. If you have a whole bunch of land and there's an architect present, buildings would get built. But if you have a guy that may be a jackleg and talk a lot of stuff, he sounds like an architect, but he actually isn't an architect. And when you look at the land, no buildings are being built. You know, maybe a few huts and stuff might be set up, but no actual buildings are being built because he's not an architect. He only talks like an architect. You follow what I'm saying? Now, we as black folks, I'm talking about people who have been persecuted by white folks, you know, in this country. When I say black folks, that's a term of endearment for me. That's how I use the term. Okay, I'm not looking at it as a race, but just people that have been persecuted by white folks. Actually, some white folks have been persecuted by white folks, so we would call them black too. So it's kind of a unique understanding of the whole thing. But when you think about it, the persecution and what was going on here, if you were trying to get your freedom, right, it was very difficult because you have a lot of people talking about freedom, but freedom is actually a very scary thing, because if you've been raised in a culture where you've been provided, everything has been provided for you, when you get free and you let go, that means you have to provide everything for yourself. That's scary. It's like when you have a little puppy and you're raising this puppy, then you kick the puppy out of the house, the puppy going to be scratching at the door because the puppy don't know any other way to eat or take care of itself. Well, that's the situation that we're in right now. And when Yeshua, whom you commonly call Jesus, when he came along, he began to teach the people a different thought process, telling them how powerful it was, who they were, that you can be like me, you know, all you have to do is follow the teachings, you know, telling them that they were actually gods, you know. And this was making the people powerful, and they liked that type of teaching because it was leading them towards something. One thing that Jesus said, I'm going to relate what he's saying, because he gave us a cipher to really understand the entire book, but we're not looking at Jesus' teaching as a cipher, because there's three thought processes in the beginning of the Bible, and depends on what thought process you get in, you can be locked in a slavery type of mindset, which is less than and not equal to. That's having something above you or something controlling everything that you do, you know? That's one thought process. Another thought process, to intellectualize. You go through and you learn everything. You know every word, every book, every scripture, every dot. But you really don't quite understand what you have. But you know it all, but you don't understand it all because you've intellectualized it so much that you can't see beyond or in between the lines. It's hard for you to read in between the lines. And the last thought process is a freedom mindset, whereas you know who you're attached to and where your power is coming from and how to begin to use it. Processes that said in the beginning. Now, one thing that that Jesus told the people, he said, you must be born again. Naturally, when he told it to the guy didn't understand what he was talking about, you know. So he broke it down in such a way that the guy understood it, but it wasn't really understood because his teachings were ciphers to carry us into this day and time. He was talking about how to not be an indentured servant. Now, what they have done, and we're bringing that knowledge up to this day's time so you can see how the cipher works. I'm going through this week because this is the 4th of July weekend, you know, and we're walking around dealing with independence and our freedom and all that. So I want to bring some of the things that's in the book, the Bible, to our attention that we haven't actually been thinking about. Some of these things are very important. When you're born, right, the mother and father, they have 30 days to claim you as their child. Now, most of us, when we're born, most of the parents, when they're born, they just automatically assume that the child is theirs. But the government's working a little trick, okay? The 1% is very tricky. So when you're born, you have 30 days to claim the child. If you don't claim the child for 30 days, the child is listed by the government as abandoned, and the child becomes a ward of the state. At that time, they give you a birth certificate. Now, the birth certificate, okay, is linked to commerce. If you're going to study commerce, in fact, if you check out Will I Am, he talks about pretty much this stuff on a daily basis because I think that he's one of the architects of freedom. Okay, but like I said, freedom is scary. So when a doctor gives you that birth certificate acknowledges that the live child, the child that was born as a live being, a father, a god, is no longer functioning. Okay, and the government has taken over for that child. All right, now. And that child, they turn the child into what's called a corporation or a straw man. If you've never read up on straw man, you can go into the internet, look up straw man and read that document. It will absolutely surprise you if you read it, you know. So, but once you become a straw man, once you get that birth certificate, okay, the government or the bankers, they trade on that birth certificate. They make like $400,000 or $500,000 a year. They make millions of dollars over your lifetime on that birth certificate. That's why when the government goes into debt, they use you as collateral because they're trading on your potential labor. That's how they're able to do so much with what they're doing. Now, in order for you to reclaim yourself, the live man that was born in the beginning has to be born again. So you have to go down, fill out an affidavit, and go back in and request to be and take yourself back to being a live being. You must be born again to enter the kingdom of heaven. The kingdom of heaven is about freedom, okay? In order to get your freedom, you have to go back and be born again. Now, that's a mouthful, all right? But I'm just giving you an idea of some of the ciphers that Jesus dropped when he was here, and they were dropped in the Bible. Now, see, some of these ciphers were so powerful that the translators of the books, they didn't take them out because they didn't really know what they were, you know? So a lot of these ciphers are right in the book for you to see, for you to read, for you to look at, if you understand what you're reading, okay? So this is what we're doing. We're giving you the message. Now, the message that we're bringing you will unlock your DNA because all the information is in you, everything. I can't say anything that you don't know ever. Because everything is already in you. There's nothing new under the sun. The straw man is nothing but an indentured servant back in the day, all right? But they just changed the name, and that's what they do. They change names of things and rearrange things to confuse you so you don't actually know what's going on, okay? Now, this is one of the reasons why they wanted Jesus dead, because he was waking the people up. Once that information, the message that he was bringing, once it hit their DNA, they were beginning to wake up. Their pineal gland was beginning to activate. A lot of things were beginning to go on in the people, and the people wanted what they were getting. They wanted more freedom because they were really tired of the Roman persecution. And the guy that was in charge of the country, I think, I forget his name right now, but he was working with the Romans to keep the persecution going on of the people, you know. And this is what they're setting up all over the planet. They're setting up people to work with them to persecute the people. It's very interesting how they have the whole thing set up. But the ciphers that was left by Jesus, whose actual name was Yahshua, his full name was Yahshua ben Pandera. If you want to look him up, you can find Yahshua ben Pandera. Jesus Christ, you can't find him. That Jesus Christ is a fake. That blind-haired, blue-eyed, white guy that got strung up on the cross, that's a fake, okay? And the children are realizing that that guy's a fake. But nobody's telling them that there was an actual Yahshua ben Pandera that they can look up in antiquity and find this guy. He had been there at temples as a family, very prominent person. He's come from a very prominent family. But you can literally look him up. There was a real Christ, okay? So to take the confusion away from the children, if you can remember the name Yahshua ben Pandera, you can look him up, and your children can look him up and realize that, yes, there was a real Christ. Now, the Bible is such a powerful, powerful book, and is written so that whatever level of understanding that you have, you can go in and learn. Some of it you want to understand. That means you stand under the information. Some of it you want to overstand. When you overstand information, you stand over the information and you don't agree with it. So you might not agree with everything that's in the book. But the book is so powerful that the 1% use the book. Now think about it. They use the book to build nations. They use the book to make billions of dollars. Okay? And they got us convinced that the book ain't no good, that we throwing it in the trash. You have to think about the how smart these people are and what they're doing. They're able to take something that's so valuable that is priceless and get you to think that it ain't worth nothing. You know, I heard people, one guy said, he said that the only thump he heard on the Bible is when he thumped it in the trash. I said, oh my goodness, what a statement to make, you know? So hopefully as he listens and as he learns more, he'll understand exactly what he has in his hand. Now, the Bible is written by black people, okay, or melanated people. They will not change the terms around and stuff. But it was written by black people based on black people's history, and they knew what was going to happen in the future because their pineal glands was activated, and they can see stuff far beyond where they were. And that's what they were doing. So a lot of things in the book, all the way through Revelation, that's some very powerful stuff. But then again, history is nothing new. It just constantly repeats itself. This is why once you understand how history repeats itself, you can get ahead of history. You can predict what's going to happen, what's going on, and you can find out some very interesting things, okay? Just like over in the Middle East, I'm going to get too far off topic here, but just like over in the Middle East, in the Bible it says the people who are not the children of Abraham and the people who are the children of Abraham will get together and pick themselves one head and come about our land. So the Yiddish over there who claim themselves to be Jews, well, they can be Jews because they made up the Jewish religion, because the Hebrews, they didn't have a Jewish religion. Although one of the tribes was of Judah, but they didn't, their religion wasn't Jewish. So the Yiddish, who are there right now as Jews, and the Palestinians who are actually of the seed of Abraham, you know, they're there together, and if they unite and form some type of singular leadership. And that's when the Armageddon that everybody's talking about is going to start, and it's going to get pretty rough over there. You know, my computer went down for some reason. Give me a second. Let's see. Okay, I brought it back, and we're still here. Okay, I'm sorry. I'm glad I didn't lose nobody. And once again, I'd like to stop and just thank those who are calling in. I appreciate you calling and let me know that I am not alone, you know, and that you appreciate what we're trying to do and what we're trying to bring to you, okay? So that's just one little instance in the book that's predicting the future, because since the Yiddish and the Palestinians are there, right, they're going to work something out, right? They're going to be working together. And that's when another war is going to take place around that time. I don't know what year that's going to happen, but around that time, that's when another war is going to take place, okay? Now, I didn't mean to get too far off topic, but getting back to the cipher that Jesus was giving us in his words and what he was saying, when the Sanhedrin sent Jesus to Pontius Pilate, right? And Pontius Pilate asked him, "Where you from, man?" He said, "My kingdom is not of this world." He said, "Well, why are you here?" He said, "To come to bear witness to that," which is true. But the cipher of that particular passage was the Romans didn't have a jurisdiction. He was not in their jurisdiction, okay? By his word, by his admittance, he was not in their jurisdiction. And he was not under the Sanhedrin's jurisdiction either. So he wasn't under either one of their jurisdictions. And according to universal law, the only one that can try a live being is another live being. So they had to turn Jesus over to the people so that the people can try him, because they were the only ones that had the authority to try him at the time, okay? Now, of course, they manipulated the people with money, paid the people off so they can get the outcome that they wanted. But the cipher was, whatever jurisdiction that you claim that are in control of that particular jurisdiction have control over you, and you have to follow their laws. So the first step in becoming free is to do what Jesus did. You have to opt out of their jurisdiction, okay? You do not have to be domiciled, which is your residence. You do not have to be domiciled in these jurisdictions to function. So you can function outside of their jurisdiction, but you have to do it through the church. That's why the church and state is separate, because they left the people the framers, okay, along with we have to deal with the Moors, because the Moors taught George Washington how to actually run government. They ran this government for 8 years before George Washington got a hold of it. But the framers knew that the people needed a way out, because corruption will creep in as long as the monetary system that we're using, which is the barter system. As long as we're using the barter system, corruption is going to come in, because greed has a tendency to take over, you know? So in order to actually get out of the jurisdiction, you have to set up some type of church. You can be your own church if you want and opt out of this jurisdiction, so that all these statutes that they're passing don't apply to you. Only the Constitution apply to you, not the statutes that they're passing, you know? And so a lot of things that they're doing, like the driver's licenses and all this kind of stuff, stuff that they're saying that you have to have, you actually won't have to have all that stuff. And they can't be charging you for a lot of things that they're charging for, like taxes on your house and all that. You don't have to pay none of that stuff. But once you opt out now, a lot of the medical stuff that you're getting through government. You might not be able to get your medical stuff. You have to pay for everything because you're free. Everything is on you, okay? Now, going back to that particular cipher, we're talking about the court system, see? If you deal with that particular passage in the Bible and what they went through, the court system is set up exactly the way that was. Okay, now this was before America was here, before England was here. It was before America was here. Okay, but we're talking 2,000 years ago. So this was before America was in existence. So the court system is based on that particular passage. You have your prosecutor, you have the defendant, the person that they're prosecuting, which he can defend himself, which is what Jesus did. And then you have the judge, which would be the Sanhedrin. You know what I'm saying? And then you have the 12 jurors, which is the people. The judge don't actually decide whether you're innocent or guilty. It's the 12 jurors, the people, that decide whether you're innocent or guilty. See what I'm saying? Because the judge know, and the prosecuting attorney know, they do not have the authority to judge you, because they're not. They're acting in the capacity of a straw person, which is not a live being. So only a live being can literally judge you. So that's why you have to bring in the jury to judge you, unless by your consent you decide to let judge you if you want to. It's up to you, but it's by your consent. You don't have to consent to that at all. So if you understand the ciphers, I'm just giving you a brief idea of how the ciphers work and how powerful the book is. They set this whole government up based on what's in the Bible, okay? And you can go through passage after passage after passage and relate what they're talking about in the book to what's going on today, and you begin to understand the ciphers and what they were telling you not to do. It's like before the advent of kings and queens, they were telling you. Tells you right in the book what the king's going to do. They're going to take your children. They're going to make the children work for them. They're going to have your children running beside the chariots while their cars. Now, if you check out Secret Service, it's all there. And based on there, if you can see how what they have done is related to what's going on now, you can predict what's going to happen. You can even predict what's going to happen with the stock market. You know what I mean? And everything that's going on. So there's a lot of power in the teachings of Jesus. There's a lot of power in the teachings in that book. I constantly talk about this because they have found a way to make us not like what was left for us, to make us gain power, to help us gain power, you know? So we have to begin to go back to our roots. And when we talk about our roots, we talk about the information that we used to have, but we don't want to go back to the information to go backwards. We need to go back to the information to go forward. Our thought process has to be, what are we going to do? How are we going to get out of this mess? How are we going to save our children and the families from this madness that's going on? And you can use that information to go forward. But if you go back just to study information, say, oh, we had this, we used to do this, and we used to do that, that puts you in a backward momentum mentally, and that's not what you want to do, okay? Because today, in reality, is the only thing that exists right now. It's the only existence that you have, okay? Tomorrow hasn't gotten here yet, so it's not real. Yesterday is already gone, so you can't relive yesterday. Well, some people try to, but yesterday is gone, okay? And your actions today determines tomorrow and also determines yesterday. So you have to think about what you're doing right now. And that's what's important, because what you're doing, the work you're doing right now, how is it going to affect your future? How is it going to affect your children? all these things are very, very important for you to move into the freedom mindset, for you to get your freedom. Okay. Now, I'm going to go over another little passage here that's in the Bible when it said, the question is, how does let us make man in the Bible help us get free? And that's an interesting question. How does let us make man? Well, first you have to understand, when I say understand, you have to begin to accept some of the information that's coming at you that's going to bring you into the type of thought process that's going to bring you into your power, because you're very powerful individuals. We got so much power, it's unbelievable. That's why you're so valuable. That's why they went to steal you in the first place, because they know how valuable you are, you know? And they went and stole you to build a society for themselves, and that's what happened, okay? So once you understand that at one time there was nothing but energy, the only thing existed was this energy. So everything in existence is made up out of that energy, which means that you weren't created, you are an extension of. So if you are an extension of source energy, okay, that means that you're carrying the power of the universe within you. Now, this is some pretty out there information, but when you think about it, it'll ring true. It'll begin to activate that DNA in you, and you can see it for yourself. So, which means that man cannot be made. See, energy cannot be created or destroyed. All right, so we've come to that conclusion. Energy cannot be created or destroyed, and everything is made up of energy. As energy vibrating at different frequencies, giving you solid, liquid, gas, and everything else, you know. If you change the frequency of the molecules in water, it will, if it's too hot, it will turn to gas, because the molecules are moving so fast. If it's too low, it'll turn to water. I mean, if it's low, it'll turn to water, and lower than that, it will turn to ice, liquid, solid, gas, okay? But you can't destroy the energy. You can only change its frequency, so that it can become different things. Okay, I don't want to get too scientific here with the terminology, but if you know we can't make man, what were they talking about? See, they were talking about the straw man. See, they made the straw man. You see, now the woman came out of that straw man process. That's the only time that you can get the woman from the man. You can't. No other time in history, you know, can you verify that the woman came from the man. If you check through history, thousands and thousands and thousands of years, men come out of the woman, not the other way around. So there's a message in that passage. When you come to things like that, and it sounds a little strange, you say, man, there ain't nowhere in the world that can happen. there's a message in that passage, a hidden message for you to see, but you have to use the people that they call prophets and all that, or use the teachings of Jesus as a cipher to understand some of those particular passages, okay? That passage is talking about the straw man, and that's how the straw man was created. That's how the woman came out of the straw man, you know. And they used that to vilify the women, because at one time, this was a matriarch society. And they changed it to a patriarch society. But the society should not be matriarch or patriarch, okay? It should be an even society, equality. It's like in Galatians, in the last days, no Greek, no Jew, no male, no female, all will be one. And this is the mindset that we have to get to. Stop trying to elevate each other over each other and strive to balance the energy so that we can work together to gain some type of freedom so that we can protect our children and everything, okay? There's so much to go through. On this particular topic, and I'm only halfway through the Dublin time. This is a very important question here. If the men and women on whom you call freedom fighters came to free us, how come we're not free? That's what I was talking about earlier. They talk a good game and make you think that they're architects of freedom. But if they were architects of freedom, why are we fighting for freedom right now? 250 years, all of these architects, so-called architects, have came to bring us free. Think about it. How many people have been freed? Do you understand? I mean, the evidence is there for yourself. They weren't architects. They talked like architects. They weren't architects. Do you understand? When Jesus was speaking, people were getting free. People were gaining their freedom. People were waking up, you know what I mean, and was looking, ready to fight for freedom, ready to die for actual freedom to control their food, clothing, shelter, and security. If you don't have control over that, you're not free. Now, you can stop and think about that for a second. Do you have control over the Navy, the Army? You have control over the clothing manufacturers? No. You have control over food production? No. Are you building houses out there? No. Well, you're not free, okay? Someone did pretty good, like Father Divine. He did pretty good, you know. Marcus Garvey, he made a heck of an attempt, but nobody got free. And when he got to a certain point, deported him, shut him down, right? So freedom has not come to us because the architects aren't here yet. Well, let me say this way. They're here. But when you listen to me talk a little weird, this brother that comes on after I come on, he won't be on this Sunday. His name is Will I Am. He's one of the architects of freedom, okay? Because if you follow some of the things that he's telling you to do, you will be born again. That's number one. You go down and fill out your affidavit and become a live being again. You'll be born again. And then you have to learn the statutes and the codes and what they're doing and the paperwork that you have to file to make sure that your houses aren't being taxed, things of that nature, where he carries you through all that. That's an architect of freedom. If you follow what he's saying, you as an individual will gain some freedom. But now here's the problem. As a group, if we're talking about freedom as a group, it gets a little tricky because the only status that the wicked respect is your military status. I'm going to say that again. The only status that the wicked respects is your military status. Because when they get tired of you talking and whatever you're doing, they send the military in and shut you down. And if you don't have a military that you control to at least make them think twice about coming after you, you know, then they're not really concerned about you at all, you know. And this is why another thing why they want to do gun control, because they don't want the average person walking here with guns. Average Joe ain't gonna be shooting nobody. Now, if you're gonna take the time to go fill out the paperwork and get a pistol, you're not gonna be using that pistol to rob and do things with it, because everything you do with that pistol is gonna come right back to you. the people that commit the crimes, they don't go fill out no paperwork for no pistol. They're not going to go down to no gun shop, buy no pistol, to go rob no bank. You know what I mean? They're going to get it from illegal sources. So the gun control mindset is for the 1% to make sure that as you begin to wake up, as you're doing now, that you're not armed, that you're not in a position to protect yourself, okay? Now, the last question is, whose independence are we celebrating? We're celebrating the 1% independence from being bothered by you asking for independence. It sounds a little strange. Let's say that again. The Independence Day that we're celebrating is the 1% independence, 1% freedom from being bothered by you for freedom and independence. And they love every minute of it. Sure, they celebrate every 4th of July because they don't have to worry about you bugging them for your freedom and independence so they can keep stealing your money, locking you up, doing whatever they want to do with you. There's nothing you can do about it. So I just wanted to throw that out there. But normally, I'm just going by pretty fast. What I'm going to do, I'm going to skip ahead and go ahead to the commercial. I usually run a commercial in a half an hour. This is the Elohim Radio Show. But those who are on the line, thank you so much for calling in and listening to what we're trying to say. And we're trying to activate your DNA so that you, because in the Bible it said wisdom comes from your source. Wisdom comes from God. So I can't give you wisdom, but we can activate your DNA so that you can connect with your source and that wisdom will come in, okay? Elohim Radio Show, we're here every Sunday, barring different things that might happen, okay? The call in number 646-564-9888. And press 1 if you want to talk. Normally, we talk about a half an hour. And then if you want to have a question or comment or something, you can just hit 1. And I know that you have something to say, and I'll open up the mic, and you can speak your piece. Now, we're not here to debate your religion, to debate principles or points of view. What we do, we open up the mic, and you can give your point of view. Even if it's negative, that's fine, too. Or positive. We like positive points of view. So you can give your point of view, and that's it. Now, we're not going to comment on your point of view. It's your point of view so that the other listeners can hear what you have to say. Now, if you have a church or a group or something, or you have a business or something like that there, and you want to give your number, anything like that there, you just hit 1, and you can give your number and stuff to the people that's on the line, okay? okay. Now, I've just released the gospel CD. Right, it's my first gospel. It's my first CD release. In reality, I'm doing the singing, I'm playing all the music and everything on it. You know, what I did, it took me about 2.5 years to make this one CD. It has tones in it to activate your pineal gland. Now, your mind, the earth, the space or universe, whatever you're calling it out there, vibrates at 72 megahertz. And that would be F sharp. So we use F sharp, a lot of F sharp chords, and think there's a lot of tones coming through F sharp and C to help activate your pineal gland. If you bought the CD, you listen to it. You have to listen to it a couple of times because it's on the commercial formula to make it sound good and more appealing to you. But you have to listen to it 2 times before it locks in. Once it locks in, you can meditate with the CD. After you meditate with it, cut the radio and television on, and you can feel the difference in the frequency. One frequency calms you and puts you in a mindset where you want to get something done. The other frequencies uncalm you, if that's a word, uncalm you, and put you in a position where you just want to hang around and you don't want to do too much. And you'll see the difference, and you'll see the difference when you get the CD and do that. And those that have bought the CD, I want to thank you very much. I appreciate your support. Okay, don't forget to check out my book, The Turn of the Scriptures Part 2, A Christ Has Come. And for more information on that CD or book, you can call TCCA at 215-294-0230. 833. That'll be from 9 to 5. Now, Will I Am's show will not be on today. He's off on a meditation retreat or something, and where he said that he wouldn't be on today. I'm going to miss Brother Will I Am because, in my mind, he's one of the few freedom architects that I'm actually listening to, you know. And plus, he's like a walking encyclopedia. He covers teaching or everything, and which is good. And I like listening to his show after I leave here, okay? The number for his show for next week is 218-632-0460. And the PIN number is 726-476-87#, okay? And I would like to give a shout out to Horace Butler for his book, Black History, for his Black History book, When Rocks Cry Out. I like him because he understands our history and helps fill in the missing pieces. You know, a lot of us don't know that we had ships sailing back and forth from Africa to here long before any Caucasian Europeans came here, because the original Caucasians weren't European. They weren't white. They were actually black. Before the white Caucasian Europeans came here, okay, even the original people in the Caucasus Mountains were black too. So it gets a little tricky when you have information how to speak it properly so that people have a good understanding of what they're saying, okay? I would say the very, very light melanated people before they came here. All right, we had ships going back and forth, and commerce going back and forth to Africa. Okay, also we have the Legacy of a Nation hosted by our brother Mackinson. That comes on every Saturday at 6 p.m. They talk about Black history, health, economics, and politics. The call in number is 347-677-1533. So you might want to write that down because you won't be hearing anything from me until after this show next Saturday. I'd like to give a shout out to Nikki Love. She's a spiritual advisor. She comes on every Sunday, Monday, Tuesday, and Thursday at 10:30 p.m. So if you want to listen to some good information before you lay down and go to sleep, she'd be a good person to call. The number is 347-215-8040. And you can also go to her website, which is NikkiLoveWunam.com. That's WNOM.com. And I listen to her every chance I get. I'm in bed at 9 o'clock. So a lot of times I can't make a show, but when I happen to be up, I call religiously to find out what's going on, okay? We also have the Black Cross Nurses, Division 178, at 53rd and Girard in Philadelphia. And boy, do we need our own nurses, because these doctors are actually killing us. I'm telling you, they're not actually healers. They're mechanics. Now, if you get shot, stabbed, or cut, they're the best place to go to. They can patch you up. But if you're sick, you need to find a way to cure yourself. You got to start doing some research. Because they don't do the healing. The pharmaceutical companies do the healing, because once they diagnose what's wrong with you, they give you the medication from a pharmaceutical company who is actually doing the healing. And the pharmaceutical company's primary motive is profit. So they don't really want to hear you. They want to keep you on the drugs for as long as possible. So you need to do your own research to find out what's going on in reference to your health, okay? I would like to give a shout-out also to Tom Thornton, who writes under the name of Yesterday's Child. He has an old-school style Philadelphia style. He has 6 CDs on the market. And just Google CD Baby, then type in Yesterday's Child. Or you can call Tom Thornton for more information at 267-259-4077. Also, I forgot to tell you that you can get my CD on CD Baby, too. I skipped over that. It's at CD Baby/Elohim Christ 2. That's the number 2. So you can go there and you can order my CD. If you don't want to get a whole CD, just want maybe 1 or 2 songs, you can download 1 or 2 songs for a buck. So, you know. Okay. I'd like to give a shout out to the Heaven Bound Gospel Singers, who have just released their new CD called Reflections. For more information on the album or how to book the group, you can call Patrick at 215-474-1419. I've seen these guys throw down, and what a treat it was for me. So treat yourself. Go and Go ahead and check out the Heaven Bound Singers. Search, find out where they're at, or give Patrick a call, and he'll tell you where they're playing at next, okay? And I'd also like to give a shout out to our resident naturopathic healers and doctors, okay? So this is an alternative to going to those doctors for that medication that has terrible side effects. And they list the side effects like it ain't nothing. Well, it causes this, it causes that. If you're not careful, it causes you to bleed and die. And people still buying it. It's unbelievable. And our resident naturopathic here is Dr. Paul. His number is 215-779-7355. And Dr. Bill, his number is 631-561-3864. Dr. Bill likes to call himself a doctor because he's a healer. And there is a difference between a doctor and a healer, trust me. And so if you're sick and not calling one of these specialists, you deserve what you get. No, I don't mean to say that. Nobody really deserves to be sick. Just think about them when you're not feeling good and give them a call. And don't worry, be healthy, okay? Now, at this point, I'm supposed to go into economics, but there's so much more in reference to what I was talking about earlier. So I'd like to go back to that and finish up on that. And finish up on that before we go into economics. I do economics every so often because we're wasting our money following what they're telling us to do, you know? And I'll just speak on the 50% budget. Let's just talk about the 50% budget for a minute. They tell us to save 10%, but 10% is not enough. As soon as something happens, bam, that 10% is gone. But if you're saving 50% of your money, you'll never actually go to the poorhouse, ever. Because eventually you'll gain enough money to invest in different things or to create your own business. I suggest that you buy a couple of houses and rent them out, rent out some rooms, get a three-story house, live on the first floor with the other 2 hours, something like that there. And I think that would be to go into real estate. But if you just buy 1 or 2 houses and rent out, and by the time you retire, if each house sells for $80,000, you can sell it for $160,000 to retire on just by buying 2 houses over this period that you're going to work, you know? And with the 2 houses plus your money that you're going to get from your retirement, so forth, so on, you can be looking at maybe $300,000, you know, just when you get ready to retire. That's just buying 1 or 2 properties, okay? Over a 20-year period, all right? That's just a little tidbit. I don't want to get too much into what we talked about before, but this is a thought process that they really don't want you to have. The bottom actually controls the comes of freedom, economics, and everything else. The bottom controls the top. The top don't control the bottom. This is the kind of thoughts that they don't want you to know. They don't want you to have these thoughts. You think because you don't have money, you can't vote, you can do things, that the ones with all the money can control you, but that's not how it works. Think about it for a second. What would happen if nobody went to Walmart? Walmart would shut down. All that money they got, they would have to use, you know, to come out of bankruptcy. What would happen to McDonald's? McDonald's own more real estate than anybody on the planet right now, or anybody in this country, not the planet alone, but anybody in the country right now. What would happen if everybody just stopped going to McDonald's, stopped spending that little $2 or $3 for them sandwiches? McDonald's would have to shut down. Pathmark's already gone. Pathmark has shut down because people start participating. It is your participation that's making the top. The other way around, the rich aren't doing anything for you. You're doing everything from them. So if you want to have some type of control over what's going on, start being mindful of where you spend your money at, you know? You go to certain stores, well, maybe you might have to spend a couple extra dollars. Okay, that's fine. But you're beginning to control the economic flow of the country. Now, I buy everything I can in my neighborhood before I go out of my neighborhood to get anything. You know, if it's something that I really can't get in the neighborhood, then I go outside the neighborhood to get it. But everything that I need mostly comes from within the neighborhood that I live. That keeps the money in the neighborhood. And those little corner stores and stuff, they have to hire people because we're coming to them. So you're creating jobs. And if they're hiring people in the neighborhood, that makes it even better. Now you have neighborhood people that are getting the jobs because you're spending your money in the neighborhood, you know. That was the last thing I wanted to really hit on, was that the bottom literally controls the top. Okay. Now another thing I wanted to just touch on for a minute is what is evil. See, they're giving us the wrong understanding or definitions of these words. Well, they're not wrong for them, but they're wrong for us because we don't have a clear picture as to what's going on when you get a definition that's not tailor-made for your mindset to bring you out of the condition that you're in. Evil is when somebody else forced their will on you. And if you watch TV, watch the shows, everything that's getting done is by somebody forcing their will on somebody else. That's evil. Now, if you think about how the country was started, when they came here, they forced their will on the indigenous people that were here. That makes America an evil empire. And when you have an evil empire, it's run by evil. It's run by forcing their will on somebody else. And that's what's going on all over the country, and they're setting up these little evil empires all over the planet. The definitions of words are very important. That's why if you're a person highly melanated or you're a black person, when you look in a dictionary, solemn, dismal, gloomy, net, evil, bad, see what I'm saying? And they follow it up with some of the stuff they put on TV. Devil's food cake is evil. Devil's food cake is black. Angel's food cake is white, you know. And they just keep putting subliminal suggestions all the way through. And that hurts the people who are highly melanated, or that hurts black people as far as their mindset is concerned. So definitions to words are very important. And all of the definitions that Webster's given, some of them are just his opinion. You know, so you have to do a little research on your own to find better definitions of some of these words, okay? Just like everybody's starting to use the term overstand now, because that's a legal term. When you go into when they read you your Miranda rights and they ask you, do you understand? What they're asking you is, do you stand under the laws and statutes of this government? And when you say yes, by your consent, okay? By your consent, you're standing under the laws and the judgments that they're going to lay down on you. So if you don't want to stand under that their particular judgment, then you overstand. You stand over what they're saying because you literally don't agree with. You literally don't agree with. Okay. My computer went down again. I only got about 90 more seconds left, so I want to take this time just to thank those that are on the line. I appreciate you calling in, and I appreciate you listening. We're doing the best that we can to bring messages that will activate your DNA. We cannot teach you. I can't be your minister. I can't be your guru. I can't be none of that, okay? The only thing I can do is give you the message, all right? And once you get the message, it will internalize inside of you, and it will begin an activating process so that you can get at the information that's inside you. All the information, past, present, and future, is inside you. That's why I think Jesus said, peace be still. You got to go in and get the information. That's why meditation is good, you know. Learn how to meditate. We'll talk about meditation next week a little bit. But learn how to get into yourself, because that information is in there, and you can learn so much from yourself once you begin to activate the information that's inside of you. So with that, I just want you to remember that love is the act. They make others feel good, and that we love you, and that we'll talk again next week.